goodness.
Blog Talk Radio.
Right? You're going to play?
Welcome.
Wait. What the hell was that?
What was that?
What was what?
Welcome. Was that you, David?
That was me.
That was you? All right. Wait. We got to get
Oh, I know what you were doing.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here. It all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people.
What? Oh, is it
funny? Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark.
Scanning the frequency.
Welcome to Scanning the Frequency.
Hi, we all survived the fucking apocalypse.
Yeah.
Oh, it was touch and go there for a minute. I saw people flying around in the sky and all sorts of lights and stuff. And wait a minute, that might have been when I fell down and hit my head.
Oh, stars. Oh, okay, Fagan, tell us, tonight we got a special show. I mean, we all survived the eclipse and whatnot. And I survived some earthquakes this week. You know, we're good. And So tell us who's on tonight. We got a special guest.
Friend David Oman. David Oman. I always say Oman.
I
David
say
Oman. Oman is David Oman. Preferably Oman. He's from Beverly Hills, California, Benedict Canyon, and he's going to tell us all about his story. He's going to cue it up for us here in just a minute, and I'm really looking forward to talking with David. He's amazing. He's fun. He's great to talk to. And
that's good.
He's got a lot to tell us tonight in that 55 minutes. So
I can only imagine. It's going to be a fun show. You know what I mean?
It is.
55? 55, but I can't drive 55.
Oh, no.
Never mind.
Totally eclipse of the heart!
All righty then.
I want to hear Slayer. I want to hear Slayer do Bonnie Tyler. That would be the shit.
I can't. Can you do that? Red and blood with the lacerated sky. No.
Anyway.
I can't. I don't know what's going on. But
anyway, David Oman tonight on Scanning the Frequencies on Live Paranormal.
Very good. And he'll be calling in like in about 2 minutes.
Yeah,
so,
couple.
You know
minutes.
What I mean?
In very short order, yes.
Yeah. So.
And by the way, a queue up for the show next month, the StreamYard. I'm working on getting that short up. And we're going to do videos next month live, podcasts. Thank you, Dave.
Right.
And we're going to have, he said he was interested in doing video tonight, but we unfortunately don't have that yet, but
we
are definitely going to, and we are going to be able to reach out to a bunch of different things. I am plugged into the world, baby. I just got to get the fuse block set up right.
Yep. That's going to work out great. I know that. It's going to be real good. Because we can go all over the place. We could be like here and in a different country in like 1 minute.
Facebook Live, YouTube Live, iHeartRadio,
Radio,
all of it. Yeah.
We're in Hawaii. Hookalaka Ligi. Come on, Jalata White.
Wait a minute. Before he calls, listen, I read that in New York they're going to put like, you know, a screen where you could see directly into Ireland.
Oh, really?
Like an Ireland is going to see you just so you can see each other. It's called a portal or something.
Okay,
like,
but why? But why Ireland?
I don't know. That's what they picked, I guess. I don't know.
Ireland.
Leprechaun? I don't fucking know. Elves? I don't know.
Okay. If leprechauns start coming through that big-ass screen, I'm running.
I'm not. I mean, like, where the fuck you got that gold, motherfucker?
I'm the leprechaun.
Luck of the Irish. Give me that.
You remember that movie?
Oh, you mighty bastard.
No,
that movie was pretty weird.
I wouldn't be scared. I'd be like, hey. What's going on? Like, I do to every horror actor that pops in my face.
Who was it that actually played the leprechaun?
That little guy.
Oh, that was Warwick Davis.
Was that Warwick Davis?
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
the guy from
okay.
Willow. Yeah, that was him.
Yep, that's him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was Rickon. I liked that movie. That was good.
There's only two. Oh, there's only two little people that have really gotten a name for themselves.
Yeah.
Three now.
I mean, yeah, but like, how my foot's cramping? No, don't.
Warwick Davis, who did, he was in Willow and a bunch of other little movies like that.
Yeah, he's in,
pardon the pun.
He's in a bunch of stuff.
Dinklage, I forget his first name.
Peter Dinklage.
He was well known for being the dwarf in the Game of Thrones series.
No one knew that.
Comedian Brad Williams.
Oh, I know who he is.
Okay.
Oh, he's funny as shit.
Yeah. Yes, I do. But I mean, then again, when you look. Look, we survived. I don't know. Did he call? Did he try to call yet? Because
I don't know. I'm gonna.
Yeah, give him.
Try to make sure we got him. Mm-hmm. I gave him the number. I had him repeat it back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's got the number to call. So let's see if we can get him.
Okay. Well, all right. He'll probably be maybe unless you can always throw in the other number in case. Oh, here he is. Okay. All right, we got him. All right, Fabian, I'm gonna take the reins. I'm gonna pick it up now.
Okay, that's cool.
Hello.
There he is.
Hello.
Hi.
How's everybody doing?
David Omen.
Hi.
Yes,
David
it's me.
David Omen, 1, 2, 3, and 4. All the omens.
All the omens, yes.
All the omens.
Living and dead.
Wait. That movie, no.
No, not that. Not that. It was just the origin stories for The Omen, the movie. Now it's called The First Omen. Get out of here. That's The Last Omen.
Wait.
God help us.
They make? Oh, that's right. They did. I know.
They did. They certainly did.
Oh,
it's called the First Omen.
Oh, my God.
Tell me about it.
That's
I don't I really appreciate that. That's what they said. They don't appreciate it. The First Omen.
Not at all.
No.
Couldn't even spell my name right, could they?
No, they couldn't.
Oh, man, no, they couldn't.
O-M-E-N, yes.
Well, yes, we definitely do appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for having me on the show to begin with, please.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Oh, come on. I remember seeing you on a couple of different shows that I have watched in the past. However, I don't particularly like the people, but
he's very honest.
the whole story surrounding your house and your neighborhood that you're actually living in now,
yes,
is just absolutely fascinating. I mean, it was a horrific event. Guaranteed, but being that close to such a point in history or a place that has its place in history,
it must have some energy, so much energy left behind it. You know what I mean, from the event itself. You know,
right.
I mean, yeah, it was, I guess I don't know.
It's crazy to this day. It's the stuff's constantly going on here.
Yeah, it's got something. I mean, I don't know that whole thing when it comes to cults and stuff. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
Like, you know, it's scary. It really is. God knows what the hell they got going on.
For me, trying to look into it on my own, isn't that area that you live in? Isn't it listed with the United States Geological Survey people?
So says Dr.
Like
Barry Taft. I've never seen the actual reports, but Barry did write that. He didn't say that, as a matter of fact.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering.
We had Barry on the show about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he went into some detail. It wasn't much, but enough to cue it up that there was some geomagnetic issues going on, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that there's definitely some stuff that's going on here that's connected to the EMF levels that I've seen myself on the meters that Barry brought out, and the stuff that's going on in the house. Somewhat correlated one to the other from what I've seen. So, yeah, there's definitely something to what Barry said about the EMF levels being off the charts and the activity.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder. I've always wondered if that's such a connection. You know what I mean? Because it's... I don't know. It just, I'm like a fuel, so to speak. I don't know how to put it.
I, my I want to hear what David has to think about
that.
Yeah,
I want to hear about. Tell us about your house and the property. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How you
Thanks.
Acquired
Thank
it and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Thanks.
Well, about God damn, was this was 2024? So it was 1998. Early in the morning on a Sunday morning, my dad got a call. My dad called me up and woke me up to explain to me that he found a lot up in Beverly Hills. It was for sale, and I was like, okay. He says, it's 40,000. I said, Dad, this is before the internet, so it was printed in an ad in the classified
yes.
sections, and it said 40K. I said, Dad, it's got to be a misprint. And he goes, no, it's
right.
not. It's got that's the right price. I'm telling you, it's a foreclosure. Come on, meet me up there. So I ended up driving up to this
oh, wow.
location, and I'm like, what the hell? And so my dad ends up coming up after me, and I'm like, I realized where I was immediately, even though the house was
mm-hmm.
torn down, that this
oh,
was
definitely.
Where the Sharon Tate murders had taken place at the end of the street from where I was. And he ended up buying the lot and just ended up building tons of stuff here. I mean, just started building the house, and it was amazing how much
right.
activity. It was just present. You could just feel during the construction.
I imagine.
There was, like,
yeah.
stuff going on here.
That.
It was like, what do you mean there's stuff? You just didn't feel alone. You always felt like you were with, you know, that there was somebody around you at all times.
Oh, I can
right.
understand. Yep, yep. Damn.
So, okay, yeah. so I guess some of my information was incorrect. I was under the impression that you had only bought an existing house.
No,
okay.
not as I don't
and
know.
I
don't know where that one came
yeah.
out from, but
yeah.
no, definitely
I
that
don't
is
remember
not what
either.
It was. We built the house.
Yeah, I
think.
Yeah, yeah, I don't remember either. But that
yep.
that was part of my erroneous information because I did read tonight that you and your dad had actually built the place up.
Yep.
So that's going to eradicate the other maybe about
Sorry,
the,
yes.
the steel beam, the steel beam construction that was used. To anchor your house into the actual stone of the
That's not, again, that's not exactly accurate as well. What it was
yeah.
the structural engineer decided that he says to reinforce the wood structure that it was, the framing, he wanted to put in four steel I-beams running two across
right.
the width on the mm-hmm. second floor below the underneath the second floor and two running underneath the third floor running again across the width of the floor, not the length going
yeah.
outwards, but to basically put that in place to, how should we say, reinforce the structure because he felt that, you know, if it's a completely wooden structure, it could get, as he says, it could be a problem in
yep.
earthquakes, meaning that the stresses
yeah,
that you're
yep.
incurring
okay.
is so
right.
to make it more structurally. Because remember, he didn't put it on the top floor, only on the first two floors.
Mm-hmm.
That it, and that's
yep.
only,
right.
just like he
yep.
said, and that's only in a certain area that he said it will help make it much more rigid and stationary. So when if there's an earthquake,
right.
it'll be much more. Which honestly, in 22 years, with the exception of one earthquake, I think maybe
oh,
two.
Oh, 94 earthquake. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't here in 94.
Right?
The house wasn't here.
Right.
The house was only built
oh,
in 2002.
Right. That was before, that was like
oh, yeah, that was long
that
before that
time.
The house
yeah.
was here. But what we've mm-hmm. had is the stuff that we've had happen here is kind of like, well, the earthquakes, I've only felt two earthquakes, and my friends in the flat said, did you feel it? I said, I didn't feel shit. And it's amazing because it's the structure is built in such a way that it's secured into the bedrock. So unless it's a real,
okay.
real big earthquake of a certain magnitude,
you won't feel it.
I won't feel it. And it's amazing because I go,
right.
but with that said, it's like it's a wonderful thing to live in a place that you don't feel it and it doesn't do much damage when there are earthquakes. Knock on wood. Knock on wood, knock on wood, knock on wood.
Yep, all the way.
Right.
Yep,
all the way.
That's just part of what we do is, you know, reveal some of the truth and then, you know, dig into the paranormal side of everything at the same time.
I'll tell you, David,
so, yeah,
you know, I woke up the other day. And I'm in, well, it was like in the morning time, and I'm in the bathroom brushing my teeth. And now I'm in Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia, okay, in Montgomery County, okay. And all of a sudden, and I lived in California for a while back in the day, and I feel that my ground under my feet starts to rumble. And I'm like, oh, but what the fuck? Because I immediately was like, I put my hands on the wall. I'm like, this is a fucking earthquake. What? We have
oh,
earthquakes
yeah.
in Jersey. What the
yeah.
hell?
I couldn't.
Yeah,
I was like cracking
normal.
Up, saying, "Now they're gonna feel what an earthquake feels like every time they say they're moving to California. You're gonna have to deal with those earthquakes."
No,
and it's like, "Well, ha ha ha! Now you can feel what they're like."
I remember my first time in California, right when the earthquake hit. I'm from Jersey, and I'm from down by the trucking industry.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and I was eating something, and I thought the truck drove by. Look at the windows, right?
Yeah.
And stuff. And they're like, truck
well,
drove by.
Hey, David.
I love it. I love it.
Tell.
Yeah, I've heard that story. Yes,
there's
what's
one
up,
way,
David?
There's one way to sum that up.
Yep.
Just tell them it's their fault now.
It's their fault. Like
now.
I said, yeah, you guys get one earthquake every 170 years. We get one every year. Come on.
Yep.
God.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I know.
It looked like a pretty heavy-duty earthquake you guys had, though. I'll be honest with you. It looked pretty.
A 4.8 earthquake in Jersey. Okay.
That's crazy. That's just
the earth is just preparing the ground for Godzilla.
Exactly.
That'd be next, okay? And they felt it all the way, I think, to Maryland and all the way up through Connecticut and Philly. And
Vermont. They felt it in Vermont.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I felt it.
Okay.
David, did you feel it up there in Maine?
Oh, God, no.
No, you didn't feel it.
No, but it felt like I was underground and the subway was going past. You know what I mean? That kind of rattle. It was like, you know, in a New York subway.
Yeah, people were saying it was like, is that a truck? Is that a truck going by?
A train. It might sound like a train. It felt like a train, I should say.
What the fuck is this fucking shaking?
I knew.
Considering.
I'm underground in this apartment.
No, go ahead.
That's why.
Go ahead.
I'm underground. That's why, being underground in a basement apartment, that's why I felt it in the middle of Pennsylvania. You know? I mean, not in the middle, but by Philly. It was crazy.
Now, I got to say something. You can find out all of this and much more in David's book, and I've had it for 4 years, over four
Wait,
years.
Wait, which book?
David's
Can't
book.
Be, yeah, four
David,
years. Yeah, four Omen. Years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, David Omen, because we have two Davids tonight. David Omen, can you tell us more about your book, The Ghost of Cielo Drive, sir?
Yeah, the book was basically written apropos of all the different television shows that have been out here on my house that have gotten, as I like to say it, my story wrong. And what I mean by that is I've been on Ghost Hunters, My Ghost Story, Paranormal Witness, Haunted History, Ghost Adventures, Fright Club, Aftershocks, Extreme Paranormal Witness, and the more I watch the shows, the more I go, Jesus Christ, if I was in the outside and looking at this and I was watching this and it wasn't me per se, you know, watching myself, I'd be saying, why is this guy living here? By the way they're basically promoting it.
I know.
It's just not. It's not accurate. It's this bad story that I go, but it's not true. And it's like, but that's not accurate. It's that all these things that they've done is not exactly true. So I wanted to basically set the record straight. And in so doing, I did the research about the murders and about the history that was what was going on here. And all the events that were going on here, and it was like, wow, there's more to this story than meets the eye. And that's, I basically scratched the surface and gave you an overall view in the first part of the book about the history of the area, because people don't know, as I didn't know. I mean, I was dumbstruck when people used to come up here during the construction of the house. My friends would come up, and when the house was built, a lot of my friends were gifted and psychic, kept on saying, I feel the presence of Native Americans, and I would literally turn to the side and start cracking the hell, just laughing my head, thinking, Native Americans. I said, we're in the middle of Beverly Hills. I said, I'm in, what are you talking about, you know, Native, I'll be honest with you, after doing the research, it turned out that less than a mile away from here, there's actually a spot that's got a freaking placard on a boulder that says that in 1925, when the plan was first broken for the building of the Beverly Hills First Woman's Club, the remains of three Native Americans were uncovered from a battle between them and the early Californians. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. yeah.
That happens all the time. All the time. Yep.
Yes,
that
it does.
All the time, all
that's
over the
Chumash, right?
Yeah.
Chumash
no. The Tongva tribe. Because apparently the Chumash were further towards the were in a different part, but the Tongva tribe, which we don't know by name, they call them the Gabrielino tribe, because that's what the Spaniards, when the Mexicans, when they came here to proselytize them and convert them, and honestly, they worked them to the bone and used them as slave labor to build the missions.
And then the Indian schools came after that.
Exactly.
So
I did the research and I found out that in 1842, this woman that owned literally 4,500 acres of prime, what we would call Los Angeles real estate, from all the way from Beverly Hills up in the north, all the way down to about Olympic Boulevard, and all the way to the west, to like Westwood, all the way to the east, La Cienega, just a huge plot of land that was her husband's.
Dude, that's real big, because I know the area. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, that's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, again.
That's big.
What they were doing was the Mexican government, basically, as the Spaniards, as they came in, they basically gave big tracts of land to their the majors and the of their army to develop as a ranchero. Exactly. Well, it was to develop the land to increase the revenue for the Mexican taxes.
Yep.
For the crown, and again, it was basically just to use the land, so they were developing it, and she lived there, and in 1842, the Native American tribe, the Tongvas that were in this area, were pushed up into the canyons where, I live, and they made raids down upon her ranchero.
Yep. Yeah.
And on one occasion, they went down in 1842, and it was recorded in the gosh darn record book, because they made the raid. They ended up having the battle that ended up going a running battle all the way into the Walnut Grove, which is now Benedict Canyon. Before it was developed, it was all Walnut Grove there. And they killed the three Native Americans and buried them on the spot. And 87 years later, they uncovered them when they dug started building the ground, and they said, that's where they were. There you go.
That's the shit that happens, man. They're showing up bodies at the Indian schools all the time. That's why I have my family. They were in a lot of Indian schools, my family.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. That's what they did. But they buried these. And these were warriors that came down to filch the gosh darn, because that's where she had all the – she had her land, her goats, her – that's was her ranchero. So on the rancho they had they had the animals that were there that they were living on.
Right.
The chickens and the goats and the pigs and whatever else they had, the horses, that was all there. So they were coming down there to raid it, and they got popped. And that's where it's amazing in the history. And you just go, what the – huh? Blew my mind. Greater appreciation for the Tongva tribe, and I did research, and it was like, wow, they are something.
Right.
So
forgive my memory about that. I know the Chumash were mentioned quite a bit in your book as well, and I do appreciate you clearing that up.
The Chumash were in the valley and further north and towards Ventura.
Yeah.
But the Tongva were literally on this side of the mountain. So maybe the Tongva, there you go. I just realized that the Tongva stayed on this side of the canyon, which is the Benedict Canyon, would be their boundary to the north, and then they were further south.
Okay.
So all these canyons and all these mountains, the Santa Monica mountain range, was territory down. South of that.
Very active place, for sure, though. Very active where you live.
I lived on Venice Beach, right on Venice Beach for a while. So the area, and you could feel it. I can. You know what I mean?
That was another Native American tribe that was down there. That might have been the Chumash. I have to look, and I'm not very familiar with all the names, different tribes that were around in Southern California. Because again, there was a coastal tribe that was also, fishing and stuff.
Yep.
That was not the same as the Tongva.
Yeah. No,
here's a completely different question. That's completely non-related to the Indians or the natives.
Yes.
I know you've lived there a while, and I know you've experienced a lot of paranormal experiences or unexplained experiences throughout the entire time you've lived there. Have you noticed if any solar activity, like what we had today, the eclipse, has that increased any activity around your house?
No.
No. Right? No. It was kind of farther out, right? Like you weren't in totality. You weren't in the path of totality. That's still 10 times or so.
No. Honestly, no. It has nothing to do with the activity. Activity is not predicated upon when we've had the alignment of the super moon alignment, blah blah blah. No, nothing.
Okay,
not a thing.
There was a line just came in to call, and it was like 111111111, and then it disappeared.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know what that was. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah. That's odd.
Whatever.
That's
see,
William.
And,
William's trying to call.
And the reason,
he's bringing up truths. That's why. You know,
right.
That, like,
right. And the
yeah.
reason
yeah.
the reason I had asked that is for myself. I'm trying to understand if natural events throughout the planet have any effect on spirit energy and their occurrences.
Honestly, I believe you me, I've heard of Mercury retrograde, of the equinox, of the solstice, et cetera, you know, the 4 points on the year, vernal
mm-hmm.
equinox,
yep.
winter solstice, the spring equinox, you know, spring vortex, vernal equinox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Et cetera, said nothing, 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 not a thing. Spirits don't care.
Okay.
When you say that type of stuff, the spirits, I feel like the spirits are saying, you guys are listening to stuff that you've been ingrained in your head with astrology and stuff. And honestly, he goes, what do you think that has to do with?
Yeah.
That's with the tides. They said, yes, that's with the tides and stuff. That's where it affects it. But as far as that, earthquakes, no.
Spirits don't
tie into that.
Right, and as far as astrology, I'm not big on any of that.
Or astronomy, I mean, as well. The astronomy where the planets are lining up.
I was just thinking more along the lines of anything that would affect the Earth's natural electromagnetic field, which we in the paranormal industry, the true investigators.
Right.
We're trying to figure out if EMF, spirit energy, are absolutely connected, if one draws on the other, or if the spirits actually create their own EMF. So for me, I've been trying to look into this for a long time on my own just to try to figure it out.
From what I'm believing and experiencing, I think that
it's like hard to say.
I don't know if it's correlating. I mean, I don't even know if it was. Again, Barry Taft, remember this, it's all theoretical. Because until somebody can actually prove it, and I mean, I live in a house that's got high EMF, but, you know, stuff happens here, and we assume that it's happened here because the EMF levels are higher. But again, that's just a theory. I haven't been able to prove it, yes or no.
Right.
That
I completely understand, and I do appreciate your insight, you know, your personal insight into
answer.
The entire situation.
It could be true. Look, I mean, I've been to places that have all right, one thing, I just heard something. There are two sides of the equation, two sides of the coin. A, the human side, which is humans are able to feel X, Y, Z. Some people are more sensitive than others to the energies, first of all. On the other side of the coin, you're asking the question, can spirits manifest because of EMFs and it's this and that? And I think that, first of all, the solar storms aren't getting enough energy down to this planet, so to be
that's
noticeable,
true.
It's negligible, to put it bluntly.
Yep.
Okay. So that you, even if
and
you had a DC EMF
disease.
Level here and you said, we just got a solar storm, and you could count to the point and see if there's a spike that corroborates that you got it, felt it, that type of thing, you know. Again, it depends where you are on the Earth when the solar storm hits, because each one side's in the dark, the other side is in the light. Again, it's hard to say. It's really you got to remember that we are all theorizing based upon what we believe and what we've been taught and what we've been told and led to believe about how spirits manifest and work. Personally, I don't put a lot of faith in that stuff because It's a lot of ego speak in the sense
know.
That we don't know. And
we
we're trying
know.
To fill that
we
void
know.
By trying to figure out
yeah.
what it is and explain it away. And it's like, well, but what if it isn't that I keep hearing? What if it's something totally non-related? And it's like,
right.
you know,
yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
think of that. It's like, of course you couldn't. You can't.
Well,
you're not there. You know, they don't even know. So,
right.
you know, that's
right.
the thing
right.
that I kind of, you know, wonder about when
yeah,
we sit there and try to dice it up and
shows,
figure it out.
Yeah, with a lot of the shows that I have watched, I take it all with a grain of salt because I'm not there to experience what they are, so I can't discount what they feel
right.
or what they perceive they feel personally. It's just, it's
yeah.
like, oh, wow, okay, that's kind of fucking weird and interesting.
Right. It's
yeah,
entertainment, though. Remember, it's entertainment. Yeah. It's only entertainment.
Right.
They can't guarantee
yeah.
you anything.
Yes.
Otherwise, they'd show you more
especially
evidence in the physical form. Right.
Hey, David, did you know Frank Sumption? Frank Sumption? Remember him? Frank?
Frank Sumption? Don't, why?
You,
who, no, not
the,
really.
The
why?
One, the creator of, the creator, I just wanted to, I didn't know if you knew him or not. I remember he mentioned reading your books and stuff. That's why I asked. He was the original creator of the every spirit box you see, but it was under Frank's box. That's what it, he used to make them.
So, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
Frank's,
died,
of course, I remember
away.
The Frank's box.
Yeah,
of course, that was
okay,
the first
okay,
generation
okay.
was the Frank's box,
yeah.
right.
He, yep,
exactly,
yeah, he was my like, closest friend until he died, you know.
Oh, God, I didn't know Frank passed.
Yep,
oh,
yeah.
so sorry to hear that.
Oh, yes, he did. Yep, he did. And it was, I was devastated. You know, it's been so long already. It's been, like, 9 years. I mean, but he taught me a lot.
Hard to believe.
He taught me a lot when it comes to, you know, like, communicate, like, always, we don't know nothing was number one. Number two, you know what I mean? You can't automatically read, like you said, when you're mixing it, you can't automatically say that's concrete. You can't do it. It takes piles and piles. It's like a puzzle that you need to put together, and that could take years, even
oh,
to
God,
make
yeah,
a hypothesis,
definitely.
Even
right.
to make a hypothesis of it. You know what I mean? And have it, you know,
yeah.
and it become a theory. So
it's not a matter
like
of you walk in and every place is suddenly demonically possessed.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
something that Zach Baggins plays upon and makes marketing money and lots of people
yeah,
make marketing
now.
Dollars on. But it's the honest to God's truth is that many places were so possessed. How come we're just finding out about them now in the past 20 years? And what, the devil came down to Georgia and went all around the world and decided to come out and have a hoot nanny all around the town? Cut the bullshit.
How did they well, look, you know Jack Osborne, right? Well, Ozzy's kid and stuff. They went to Fort Mifflin.
Yeah, I was on his
right?
show. What about Jack? Jack smack crack his back to the
Jack,
dummy.
But they did Fort Mifflin, and they totally put a picture up of a Revolutionary War general as William Howe that was fought in the Civil War as a Union soldier when they did it and got everything wrong. And they said he's a demon.
Yeah, they definitely did.
I got 15 years of research to say otherwise, and historic research like you do. I do the same thing. I go and I dig, and I find out everything. When it comes to, I go to the archives, I go to the historical societies, I go to the properties, you know what I mean, and do the same
right.
things that they did. They got it wrong. They got them wrong. Uh-huh. Automatic demon.
What else is new, you know?
David,
as far as
David.
Jack's
yeah.
concerned, when I was on the show, his wonderful, what's it called again? Fight Club. Jack decided to put up a picture of me with horns and flames coming out of my eyes. And said, if anybody's possessed, that guy certainly is. Oh, thanks, Jack. Coming from the son of Satan himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You know,
we'll let that slide. It's on.
Just saying, you know,
well, David,
you want to go out there and make
that
statement, you know, better be prepared because the bull does have horns and so does the devil, so be careful of him.
Oh, my God. See? But he's fun, at least. Yeah, that's good. I mean, really, that's good. How was it with Ghost Adventures? Were they fun?
No.
No,
Zach was a tool. I asked Zach if he wanted to come for barbecue. This was 10 years ago when they were
right.
here. And I said, you guys want to come over for a barbecue the next night since you guys are working tonight? I know your schedule sucks and blah, blah, blah. And Zach said, no, I've got a chick flying in from out of town. And I was you live in Las Vegas, man. Why do you need a chick to fly in from out of town to Vegas when you live in Vegas, man? That's Vegas you live in, you know? You're having a chick fly in from out of town while you're in L.A. It's like, oh, how nice. And that was it. I never
That's rock star.
Hey, David.
Yes.
I sum it up like this, and I don't know, because since we don't know, I always say to people, there are no experts in the paranormal, only experts in their methods, in their methodology
right.
that they used to attempt to ascertain that. I wanted to ask you something. I wanted to ask you something about the house at the end of the drive. Can you tell us a little bit about the house at the end of the drive?
Yeah, House at the End of the Drive is my first feature film that was inspired by Sharon Tate's spirit about the story of a guy that buys a house on a private drive after he gets thrown out of his house that he's living in with his girlfriend, or his girlfriend's house as it is. He ends up moving into this his friend, the realtor, finds a great place for him that's on sale for like literally pennies on the dollar, literally. And he doesn't know why, but he says, I'll take it. Once he moves in, stuff starts happening. And the stuff that starts happening is stuff that's based on my experiences in the house, some of the experiences of others like Dr. Barry Taff, who his experience here we documented, or he told us this experience of these weird, violent sexual nightmares he was having after he visited the house the first time, that were going on for a week. And I ended up, after we did the first run through with the studios, they said, we need some nudity. I said, you need nudity? He goes, well, we want some sex, something really, you know. So I said, okay. I said, I'm not the kind of guy that just throws in a scene for gratuitous gore or gratuitous nudity. It's going to play. It's going to play in a sense. It's going to have to be right. So I took Barry's story of what he had experienced here during these nightmares, and we visualized it, and we made it in, as a part of the scene, and we reshot a couple of scenes, and we added the scene of Dr. Taft's stomach being disemboweled. And, by three naked women on top of three gorgeous naked women, an ex-Ford model, and, these other two ladies. And, I played the stomach basically because my actor, my lead, saw the candles that we were working with. And I told my prop guys, I said, get me three long candles, the thin tapered candles, you know, like a dining candle, you know.
Instead,
they got a couple of column candles. They're like 3 inches in diameter and like seven inches long. So when they started the scene to light the gosh darn candles, you don't shoot it out in real time. You shoot multiple takes.
Right.
So
right.
by the time they got to using the candle and getting it ready, they ended up stupidly filling the thing with the reservoir of hot wax inside the candle.
The
candle had burned out about, like, it was about a 3-inch candle. There was about an inch and a half diameter hole in the middle across by about a half an inch deep, filled with hot candle wax. So when they put me on the bed, they didn't want him to take the candle wax. So I had to shave my stomach, shave my chest, and get on the bed. And they put, I said, okay, ready, David, you go in, your stunt double, go in. So I doubled for him. And I looked, I said, are you kind of, before I could say shit, they poured the candle. I was like, I'm screaming. So the screams you hear in that are nothing but the real terror screams of my voice curdling. And I said, you're supposed to be dropping it drip by drip. Pardon?
I said, you got to pay more for the hot wax in Vegas.
Yeah, you think? And I said, you're supposed to have drops coming down, not a whole big cascading waterfall of hot candle wax on my stomach and chest.
They burnt you. Oh, my God.
Oh, I
that's insane, buddy. That's insane.
I swear to God, my chest and stomach had welts on them for the next 3 weeks till it healed up. It was murder.
Oh, they were burnt. Yep, they were burnt. That's a lot of candle wax. Oh, my God.
It was.
Now, you got that up on Vimeo, right? You got it.
It's up on
Vimeo
right now, yeah. And like I said, it's like I said, a lot of the stuff, we have Lance Henriksen, who portrays the role of my contract laborer, who had the experience during the construction, verbatim. I had Lance play the role. Exactly what was told to me, it's in the book, is exactly what he says in the movie, and it's amazing.
See, that's cool.
Lance,
that's cool.
Oh, Lance was great.
That's
he was
good.
So good in that movie.
Oh, he's amazing.
Oh, he was exactly. Yeah. You know, you get Lance, you get Lance Henriksen, you know you got a real pro. You know you've got a pro when you get Lance. And he was, here's the funny thing about Lance. He was on the show we shot him out in about an hour, less than 20 minutes, honestly. He spent 2.5 hours, sitting there on set, hanging out with the two on-set psychics.
And
I was like, I kept walking to us and saying, Lance, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm a producer. I'm making a movie. He goes, then you go produce, and I'm just going to hang here. And I'm like, all right, Lance, cool. You're good. He goes, I'm fine. You just go do your thing. Go.
Oh,
I said, okay, all right, I'm good. I'll go. Thanks, Lance. I said, if you need anything, no, I'm fine. Just go make the movie. It was the funniest thing.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm good. It's hysterical.
Well, he was happy.
was great. Lance was phenomenal.
Right.
Lance is a consummate, you know.
Pumpkinhead.
Oh, yeah. And Aliens, don't forget.
Powder.
Right. And Aliens.
Yep.
Powder.
Alien, yes.
Oh, yeah. Aliens. That's right. Yeah.
Yep. And totally true. He is great.
Yeah.
You have an event coming up this weekend, right?
Yep. We have the event, the Omen House Takeover by Spooks and Spirits, that's going on this Friday and Saturday night.
See, I watched that video. And
yeah.
What is the event?
Maybe, I was going to, if you could explain to anyone listening what exactly a vintage Victorian investigation is going to be like.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I honestly have no idea myself. It's just... It's gonna be the first time ever at this house we're having a theatrical seance and investigation here.
Cool.
So the seance means that there's gonna be stuff that will happen because it's set to happen. However, let's be honest here. That doesn't mean anything. You're dealing with a real life haunted house where spirits are here and they don't care what you're doing because look, if they were all inspired or concerned about exactly. It's like
you're
I said,
join in.
Just because you think you've got something that you've planned doesn't mean the unplanned and the unexpected and the spirits aren't going to just manifest and you're going to go, who the hell was that? Because that's not scheduled. That's not supposed to happen. It's like,
Right.
And we're like, you get right in there, the cameras. Imagine you might have some people that are funny, so they jump in and they wouldn't know what they got. You get it? Like,
right.
You never know. You just don't.
You never know. No.
Well,
and like
sure.
I said,
it's never guaranteed. You can't expect spirit to act like a dancing bear or something.
It comes up when it's ready to be there.
This one kind of goes right along with that. On the off camera events that you have put on there at your house.
Yeah.
What has been the funniest reaction you've seen from some of these people that have gone in expecting?
Good question.
who got scared the most? What was
basically,
scared?
Yeah.
Well, I've had people who have come here. Look, in the past month, I will be honest with you, in the past month, I have seen an absolute uptick in activity that's just unprecedented. And what I mean is...
Wait a minute, you too? Oh, you mean people?
Oh, the house has gone crazy. I mean, we've had... A month ago, I had these...
See? You too. Okay, I'm sorry, keep going. There's more of it.
All right.
It's everybody. Go ahead.
So a month ago, we had these people, the six social media influencers that are, as I found out after the fact, are social media influencers that are... they rabble-rouse against the Church of Scientology. These guys go protest and video and do harassment and, you know, they do their thing with these kids, with Scientology. And it's like, I said, you know, you're poking the frickin' tiger in the ass and all that tiger has to do is turn around and bite your ass off, your hands and your head and everything. I said, you guys are playing with fire. I said, you have no idea what you're doing. But they do it, and I said, you know, they came to the house, and that we were talking in the dining room. They were in the dining room. I was in the kitchen, and I was telling them the story because one of the kids said, "Have you ever had anybody steal from you?" And the first person that pops in my head,
my
of
God.
Course, is Lindsay Lohan.
You're gonna steal? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
I
said,
forgot about that.
I
That's
forgot,
in the book.
It's in the book. So I said to them, I said, yeah, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
And they go, what?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, Lindsay Lohan was here.
Yeah.
Like I said, erroneously, I said 9 years ago. Turns out it was 13 mm-hmm. years ago. So I said, yeah, she was here 9 years ago. And, you know, when she came to the, you know, the whole story, I said, when I opened the door, I said, all the air, it felt like all the air on my tires left and went flat.
Oh, no.
And right as I said that, the front door opens itself up on its own.
Oh, crap. Oh, my God.
They're like, they're standing there dumbstruck and say, what the hell? And the dog who's sitting there, we watch on the video cameras, looks up at the door and like, what the hell is that? And there was nobody there.
Right.
And
you know a dog can see. You know they can see. You know
we have it on video. Like I said, and I have the video cameras outside. And we looked. There was no breeze. The door was locked and closed completely.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody turned the knob and opened the door and walked, you know, left the house, apparently.
Yep.
So we have
it
on video.
Dog,
it's amazing.
And the dog didn't bark either, right? So the dog knew
that
is familiar with whoever that was.
The dog
right?
was comfortable
yep,
with the
familiar.
Spirit.
Just looked
David
like...
David on YouTube. It's on YouTube. He's got some great stuff on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DavidOmen.
Right.
That's cool. But I want to see that because I love when animals do react to spirits. You know, and I know that from the people of mine everywhere with me. You know,
that would be an awesome paranormal show when animals react.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, no.
I'm sorry. let's take a bird to the end of the horror house.
That is the funniest. Oh, God, no.
Don't take a bird. No.
Oh, God, no. I love that. That is hysterical.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, no.
No, you could do it, though. It would work, you know. I was just saying. Because, it would, because I don't, but not the Amityville Horror House. Okay? No, please, no, not again. My girlfriend stole the toy whale off of the Amityville Boathouse. It was kind of in the dirt in 1978.
No way.
She did, and I'm going to tell you that right now. And everybody investigated that house afterwards said it wasn't haunted because that motherfucking ghost went to her house.
Yep.
I am not lying. I know it. I lived there.
I've talked to her extensively about the events at that other house.
And the parakeet was the top of the fucking iceberg. She had parakeets three parakeets and I think a cockatoo, teal, and in a cage, and it was covered. And every night at 20 to 1 or 12:40, whichever, a.m., you'd hear frantically pecking the mirror. And he'd start going, peck, and then he'd go, you're going to die. And it was you, which is everybody they're going to die. Okay?
Yep.
I mean, we let him out one time, and he jumped on my friend's shoulder and said, dude, you're going to die. He knew his name. All right? That bird, the house, the bangings, the husband became an alcoholic. It's the whole shindig all over again. Uh-huh. Yeah. And nobody knows where the whale is now.
Here's a point of interest on my own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the people who live, or is there anybody who actually lives in the actual house Sharon Tate and her friends were?
It's torn down.
It's torn down.
Yeah, it was torn down 30 years ago now, 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I remember when that got torn down. But they didn't rebuild anything, right, on the land now, right?
Oh, yeah, they did. They rebuilt a huge mansion there.
Oh, okay.
Huge mansion.
Right. Okay, so they built a wow on the same property. I wonder what's going on in the house.
See, that's where I was going with it. I was wondering if David knew the people who lived there and what kind of activities they're experiencing.
They're in the mansion. They're not going
to
answer the door.
They're not ones to talk about it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
They are certainly not
ones
to talk about anything about that place at all. You know.
Ah.
Not.
I know one investigator who will be sorely upset that he can't get in there to investigate.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I can guarantee you that. Many have asked, but that they can't afford it, and they wouldn't give you the time of day to go in there.
Oh, God, no. What's it gonna? Crazy. You know, we need to get the ZB out here. You know, $50,000 for a consultation.
I don't know.
I'm just throwing numbers out.
Didn't Nine Inch Nails
$50,000? You can rent the house out for $350,000 a month.
That's how much he rents it out for.
Yeah, okay.
Mariah Carey rented it out last for the Grammy month. She was there.
Oh, you see, because as you got the money, they can throw that around. You know, what about Nine Inch Nails? Oh, did Trent Reznor live near there?
He lives in the original house. He's the last person to live in that house.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
I remember that.
If they lived in the original house before they tore it down.
Trent, right?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
But he is gone.
Mm.
I mean, gone out of there is what I mean by gone. Jesus Christ. gone. What?
Actually,
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
I can't believe it.
I don't. I love Nine Inch. I haven't heard nothing from Nine Inch Nails in like forever. You know what I mean? Like no new music from Nine Inch Nails.
I don't think they're together anymore.
Somebody probably took a hammer to them, and now they're not a Nine Inch Nail anymore. It's probably just a sixpenny.
No, I think he was talking about something.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Very funny. Very funny.
That's some great questions.
You don't live nowhere near Courtney Love, do you?
No, I don't know where she lives, no.
I stay away
from those kind of people.
Yeah,
they're dangerous.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. You nailed it right on the head. Right there, you did. Yep, it's the truth.
I actually heard that, honestly. No.
Yeah, we'll just leave that alone. Yep, let's leave it. Leave a sleeper does where they like it. I mean, I went through, because I lived there for like almost a year in Venice, and I got scared like a little bitch because they told me to watch the dog, right? And because there was going to be an earthquake, they said a big one's coming. So I watched the dog, and I realized they were right. So I packed my shit, sold my car, got on a Greyhound bus, and made it home 3 weeks before the 94 earthquake. Yep.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yep.
Hey,
yeah.
Cousin, is that when you got in the accident, too, in the Camaro?
No, that was on the way there.
I was on the way to California.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, bitch, don't go there. All right.
Well, that's not funny. That you're lucky to have walked from that.
Well, yeah, I got hit by a van coming 70 miles an hour, a 79
what?
Ford van.
In a Camaro.
In my 79 Camaro, and I heard a voice, which was my spirit guide, say, look, I've cut the wheel at the same time, and I just did it instantaneously, and he hit me, and thank God I did.
How fast were you going?
I wasn't going anywhere. I just stopped. I was stopped in traffic. I had just hit the brakes and stopped. I wasn't even done stopping yet. You get it? Like, I heard, look, I've cut the wheel.
Jesus Christ.
And he hit me. Wait, you know where they were going? They were going on their way to Waco, Texas, and they threw Jesus pamphlets at me. Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
At least it was Illinois, and you would have gotten shoved straight through a cornfield.
I almost did.
Oh,
no, not where I was. There was a drop. There was a guardrail. It was in Troy, Illinois.
Troy.
Yeah.
Hey, David, I got a question for you, David.
Yes.
What you got planned for the course of this coming year? You got any things you want to plug or you want to tell us what you got going on?
I have nothing going on except what's happening this weekend and getting the movie out there so people will actually see the movie and watch it and enjoy it,
for God's sake.
Because that's what I want to do. I want to get that movie out there in a big way and get people to watch it and, you know, to like it, because I think it's a fun movie and it deserves its time in the sun, and Sharon deserves a little bit more than the first Omen, whatever it is. It is what it is.
All of those unfortunate victims do need recognition.
Yeah.
They don't need their stories to be forgotten.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Exactly, and that's why we made the movie, was in honor of them.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have to say that. Thank you. There's not a lot of people.
Yeah,
that
honors their memory.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of things are being lost to time. There's not enough being talked about and re-examined and re-brought up. You know, they got to keep the finger on it. Keep it active.
There's not enough people in the field who are doing the right research. They're just taking it from what they've heard.
Right.
And going into the same place.
I have never seen so many stories stretch as I see now, where the truth is so just put out there on the internet and everybody can put anything, and the next thing you know, it becomes this big thing when it has nothing to do with none. You get what I mean?
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Multiplied,
absolutely.
And to see you doing that, that's an honor, because that's what our group tries to do. Me and Dawn are right now here, okay, and you guys. But it's just like we try to go for the history,
you know what I mean?
Honor. So,
you got to tell their story. You got to tell their story. You got to keep it
exactly.
Yes, and yes, I agree with that. I can't believe this show. We only got 4 friggin' minutes left.
That pisses me off. David, that's what I wanted to say. I'm working on StreamYard, hot and heavy. I want to get queued up to do like a 2 or 3 hour show, and we can profile your stuff, maybe 2 hour or whatever, how long you're available for. And we can profile some of your video evidence, you know, maybe if you want to throw some stuff in there, and we can talk about it in the future.
Absolutely. Be happy to come on again, Fabian,
thank you, sir. I appreciate you, man. You've been a great friend for many years. I really love you, man. You're awesome. You cheered me up today when I called you. You just put a big old smile on my face. And I've had a shitty weekend.
It always helps.
and you made me smile, dude. You always do.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad I made
awesome
you smile
man.
There, by all means, Fabian, you know.
Honored and privileged to have you, David. Thank you.
Oh, God, Fabian, honor is mine, please.
Give me a fucking handkerchief.
For all of our listeners.
David, are you originally from Cali? Or, like, did you grow up in Cali?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, born and raised. One of the natives, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Which area were you born and raised in? The same?
Same area, just up in the hills, due west of here.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow, that's cool. I mean, how's the weather?
It's been cold. At night it's been freaking freezing. I'm not accustomed to freezing cold.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Really?
Damn. Yeah, like 40 degrees, 45 degrees at night. I don't like that stuff outside the house.
Oh, my God. It's like becoming what was here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's been cold here.
We're getting earthquakes now. You're getting rain. I mean,
we're finally getting rain. Years and years and years of no rain. We're finally catching up now.
I know. Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad to see y'all getting rain.
No, not like that.
not the river,
Atmospheric river.
The atmospheric river.
Cold
atmospheric river.
Landslides. You got sand avalanche. Oh, my God. No, get it off me, butthead. Yeah.
Oh,
so it's like a landslide coming down.
Get out of here. No. Don't do that to me. No, no, don't do that. No, no. You stinky bastard. Bung hole. I am the great Cornholio.
I am the great Cornholio. I need teepee for my bung hole.
I need teepee for my bung hole.
Bung hole. Bung holeio. Okay.
I fucking love it. You made my night, man. Made my week.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You,
I made
you
your
have
night.
Like,
Butthead. What are you doing, butthead? I'm feeling much better now. You got me wood. I want some wood. Yeah, I want wood. I need wood. I got wood. You got something for my wood? Boing. I want some now. Come on, let's have some action.
90 seconds. 99,
98, 076. Hike.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
David, thank you again.
Yeah. No, it was my pleasure. God, thank you for having me on.
No,
it's always a fun time backing up and playing Beavis and Buttluck.
That's fun. I love it. Okay.
Beavis and
Buttluck?
Beavis and Buttluck.
No,
yeah. Yeah.
Great.
You know?
Yeah.
Buttluck. Buttluck.
He's a cheeky
fellow.
He's a real cheeky fellow.
He said boner.
He said boner. He said wood.
Anyway, David, I look forward.
I got wood.
I look forward.
Oh,
we're looking forward to having you
again. I got wood. You got wood. We got wood.
Hey,
wood.
If I would you?
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Come on. Let's get going. Come on. What are we doing? Let's go. Now. Now. Wood. Would not.
Oh,
would left. Would
God.
Lot. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Oh, my God.
All right, kids. Well, thanks
right,
for having me on. It's always
second.
A pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
All right. I will talk to you guys
bye-bye.
Later then.
I'll be in touch, David.
Take care. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
for tuning in, folks. With our guest,
Heart
David
Radio.
Ullman.
Yes.
Tune in next week.
We are 5, 4, 3, 2. Bye-bye. Night-night. Bye. Okay, we're done. All right. Here we go.